Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Things among people of which there is great controversy, difference of thought, holding different positions. And thinking now, however, among religious people, among churches, what do you suppose would be one of, if not the most controversial matter among members of various churches? Now, when I speak of a matter of controversy, I'm talking about not that there is no right or no wrong. A matter of controversy simply means here's a matter where people have different positions and they disagree. It doesn't mean there's not a right or wrong about it. Among religious people, the most controversial thing would not be, does God exist? Because being religious, they believe that. Do they believe they're sinful? Most religious people believe that all have sinned. The grace of God would be something about which most would subscribe. The love of God, the necessity of faith, probably is certainly one of the most controversial matters of religion among generally religious people, the different attitudes and positions they take with respect to baptism. There are just so many things with which we can and do agree with our religious friends and neighbors and those of the denominational world. But when it comes to the matter of baptism, why, that is a matter where there is such difference that we go our separate ways. And why is that? Why should that be? It ought not be. But why is it? Well, friend, it's simply because we don't use the same authority. We don't follow the same rule. We don't measure things by the same standard. There be those that have their manuals and their creeds and their catechisms and their councils and their conferences and the various things by which they are governed and ruled. They go by what they feel, by what their ancestors may or may not have done, by what their preacher or their priest have decreed. And then there are others that say we will go by what the book says, the Bible. Because the Bible is inspired of God, it furnishes us completely or throughly unto all good works, and therefore it's all sufficient, it is authoritative, it claims to be. Therefore, if we claim to believe the Bible, we have to believe that it is the final arbiter, it is the final rule and standard by which things should be governed. It is the epitome, it is the apex of inconsistency to claim to believe the Bible and then set the Bible aside in favor of something else to tell us what's right and what's wrong. And I think we all should be able to understand that. When you come to the subject of baptism, is it important? Does it even matter? I feel sure it has and does matter to most of you here, but let me tell you, there's an increasing number of people, even in the ranks of the church, that say, well, it doesn't particularly matter. In the religious world generally, it really doesn't matter, even though nearly every religious body that you know about practices something or another that they call baptism. Most will say it really doesn't matter. But I suggest to you that it does matter because it is a Bible subject. God has spoken on it a number of times. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father, Jesus said, recorded in Matthew 4 and verse 4. You know, God only has to say a thing one time for it to be true. God's book only has to affirm a thing one time and then that's it. And yet God has spoken over 100 times on the subject of baptism. How dare anybody come along and say, well, it really doesn't matter? Now, people didn't worry about baptism back in the days of the Old Testament because it wasn't taught then for people to be baptized. There's no reference in the Old Testament to baptism. Now, in the New Testament, there's a reference to a couple of events that took place that were associated with baptism, but they're not called baptism in the Old Testament. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul refers to the occasion of the Israelites going through the Red Sea, where they were encompassed about with the walls of water and the cloud and the sea that were baptized under Moses. And he refers back to that total immersion of those people and those dual elements in their deliverance from Egypt. The Apostle Peter referred to the flood at the time of Noah, how that Noah and his family were saved by water. Even so, baptism doth now also save us, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. But other than that, we don't read anything that is even referred to, Old or New Testament, about baptism taking place in the days of the Old Testament. Some have referred to Naaman dipping himself seven times in the Jordan River in 2 Kings chapter 5 as a baptism. Well, indeed, he did dip or immerse himself, but it's not referred to as baptism. Baptism wasn't taught until the New Testament time. So when people say, well, Abraham wasn't baptized, Moses wasn't baptized, Joseph wasn't baptized, well, they never were taught to be baptized. So that's irrelevant as to what we're supposed to do today. Baptism was taught by John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, who came preparing the way for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, Acts chapter 19, we learn about John teaching about baptism. He baptized people in the Jordan River when people had confessed their sins. That was to be preceded by their faith and by their penitent spirit regarding their sins, and it was for the remission of sins, Mark 1 and verse 4. And it was that they should be baptized believing on him that should come after. That is, they were baptized looking forward to the coming of Christ. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. But now, once Christ had come, then the baptism of John ceased to be operative and effective because it had already accomplished its purpose. And beginning on the day of Pentecost, that you read in Acts chapter 2, you no longer read of people being baptized in John's baptism where it was accepted, but people were baptized in the name of, or by the authority of, Jesus Christ. John didn't baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. But beginning with Pentecost forward, people were baptized in the name of Christ. In fact, in that 19th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul had encountered some people who had been baptized under John's baptism, obviously after the baptism of Jesus Christ and by his authority had become effective, and Paul took them and baptized them correctly. It matters not only that one is baptized, it matters why one is baptized, what he understands about being baptized. Just being baptized is not sufficient. Just being immersed in water is not sufficient. And I say immersed, there's another point of controversy about what is the actual physical act of baptism. But again, if we go according to the authority by which we're supposed to go, there's really no question about it. It is immersion. Plunging beneath. The word baptize is not really a translated word. It's called a transliterated word. Now, you can go to heaven without knowing that. But it's from baptizo. Very similar to our word baptize, of course, or I should say baptize is like baptizo. And the word means to immerse. Now, I know that there be religious people, and we do not question their honesty and sincerity, but their accuracy and correctness we certainly question. Because they will sprinkle, or they will pour, and they will call that baptism, but that's not New Testament baptism. And if you never did know the meaning of the word baptizo, which means immerse, you could just read the word that pictures of a baptismal scene in the New Testament, and you will know it's a burial because people come to the water, they go down into the water, the baptism takes place, they come up out of the water. You don't do that when you're sprinkling and pouring people. And furthermore, in Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2, baptism is called a burial. So that should be adequate and sufficient for those who will accept the authority of the Bible. These substitute measures of sprinkling and pouring, they are without any biblical documentation or substance whatsoever. And there ought not be any controversy over that matter, even though there is. But now we read of a number of baptisms in the New Testament. And people sometimes ask, well, the baptism that I am to experience, is it water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism? Now, we do read about Holy Spirit baptism. We do read of people being immersed, totally submerged beneath the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. And that was on the day of Pentecost. In fulfillment of the promise of God to the apostles, that they would be endued with power from on high, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And that took place. And that's recorded for us in the book of Acts when it took place. But Holy Spirit baptism was never commanded of anybody. It was promised to the apostles. Holy Spirit baptism was to be administered by the Lord Himself, not by human beings. Man cannot administer Holy Spirit baptism. But the baptism that we're commanded to obey is a baptism that's commanded. In Acts chapter 10, verse 48, Peter commanded those people to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, when people cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter gave some imperatives, some commands, repent and be baptized. So we respond as a result of a command. It's not a promise. And this baptism is administered by men, not by the Lord. It's administered by men. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." The men were to do the baptizing. It is not an administration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one baptism, and the baptism that was being preached and practiced when Paul taught that was baptism in water, in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, in order to be saved. And there were other purposes that we shall refer to when we look at the question about what is baptism for? What is accomplished in baptism? Is it really something that's necessary? But Holy Spirit baptism is not the one baptism. That was on the apostles, and they went forward to be revealers of the will of God as a result of that. Well, is baptism really necessary for salvation? Now again, this being a point of controversy, it really ought not be, but it is. If you go by the Bible, there is no question. Dear friend, just to be baptized to join some denomination, or just to be baptized because you think you've already been saved, you'll never find that as a reason for being baptized, but you do find repeatedly the emphasis that baptism is connected inseparably by the Lord with our salvation. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You're not going to repeal that teaching of Christ, Mark 16:16. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." You're not going to repeal that. "Baptism doth now also save us." 1 Peter 3:21, nobody's going to take that away. "And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. You're not going to be able to change that. And we just might ask, in view of the fact that baptism is commanded, and you do one of two things with a command, you either obey it or you disobey it, can we disobey the commands of God and still claim that we're going to be in heaven just the same? Now, Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him, Hebrews 5:9. Baptism is a commandment. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." What does that say about a person that won't keep his commandments? Doesn't that cast a shadow upon the quality of his affirmed love for the Lord? His alleged love for the Lord? "Lord, I love you, and I know your command, but I just don't think that's necessary." Jesus said, Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Yes, my dear people, in God's plan of things, it is man's responsibility, in order to be saved, he is to be baptized. And the element into which one is baptized is water, because that was the element into which people were baptized in New Testament times. What really happens in baptism? Just what really takes place in baptism? Now, I'm not talking about the physical act. You can observe that when you see someone lower a person into the water and they're completely submerged and come up. That's not what I'm talking about, what really happens. Sins are forgiven. That's what really happens in baptism. They're washed away. Acts 22:16. And it's not the water that does the washing. It's the water in the element into which we're baptized, but it is then that sins are forgiven. That's the way we enter into Christ. People are either in or they're out of the Lord. To get in the Lord, we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and Galatians 3. two passages of Scripture, they both teach the same thing. The only two passages of Scripture that teach us that final step whereby we go from outside to inside, Christ. It is also to get into the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, which is where He offers and gives His spiritual blessings. To be in Christ is to be in the body of Christ. That's where spiritual blessings are to be found, in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. There's no condemnation of them that are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. And to be in Christ, we're in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ, of course, as you well know, is the church. And so all of this is accomplished when one is baptized. But more importantly, and in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, we're justified by His blood. It is in baptism that we're washed clean by the blood of Christ. As I mentioned, the water doesn't wash your soul clean. It's the blood of Christ that washes the soul clean. And it is in baptism, we were baptized into His death, Romans 6, 3 and 4. That's where we reach His saving blood, because His blood was shed in His death, John the 19th chapter. And that's the reason then that we're raised to walk in newness of life. That's what happens. It's a spiritual operation of God, Paul told the Colossians, when we are baptized. God operates on the souls of men by washing them clean by the sacrificial blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary. This is when one is born again, by the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means to bring to life. The washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not what renewed, the Holy Spirit does the renewing. This is when we're born again, born of water and the Spirit. That's the new birth, John 3, 3 through 5. That's what takes place. This is the reason now in Christ you're a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. There is no question as to what the Bible teaches as to what happens in baptism. But we need to understand that. We need to know that. Now, friend, I don't want to say something here that's too trite or facetious. But I just believe that I and others are of such disposition that if we thought simply getting people under the water would send them to heaven, we'd get a portable bathtub and we'd go up and down the street and we'd dunk everybody we found under that water and send them to heaven kicking and screaming and objecting, but they'd go anyway until they arrested us and stopped us. But it takes more than just being put under the water. You have to know what you're doing. You have to understand what you're doing. There has to be the conversion of the heart first. There has to be faith. It has to be preceded by repentance. It has to be preceded by your confession of your faith in Christ. And then that's what happens in baptism. And baptism does, or is, the doorway into the church, not into a denomination. New Testament baptism never put anybody into denomination. I know that's so because no denominations even existed in the New Testament time. And when a person is baptized to get into a denomination, he has not obeyed New Testament baptism. And brethren, we must keep that before us for the purity of the church and the purity of the doctrine and for the salvation of sometimes misled people. They get the idea that they've been baptized into some denomination, that they've obeyed the baptism of the Lord. They have not, because the baptism of the Lord is not a baptism into a denomination. It is entrance into the church. Because it's entrance into His body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. There be people sometimes that come along, oh, I've been baptized. All right, why? What was your understanding of it? Was it New Testament baptism? If you were baptized because you thought you were already saved, you have yet to obey the Lord. If you're baptized in order to join some denomination, you have yet to obey the Lord. Now, we can't just set aside God's precepts and concepts and the things that He has to teach and be pleasing unto Him. Sometimes people object to baptism on the basis that though you're practicing salvation by works, that's right. But you've got to understand, the Bible talks about different kinds of works. Yes, it talks about the works of the Mosaic law by which we're not going to be justified, that's for sure. It talks about works of which we can boast. We're not going to be justified by works of which we can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. There are works of our own righteousness. We're not going to be justified by works of our own righteousness. Titus chapter 3, 3 through 5. We can't do enough good or merit or earn salvation. These things are simply reminders to those of us here, most of us at least here. We're not going to see but that kind of works. But there's another kind of works. It's the works of obedience that a sincere, genuine faith will lead us to obey. And without those kind of works, our faith is dead faith. And a dead faith won't save anybody. And baptism is a work in the same sense that faith is a work. And Jesus called faith a work in John chapter 6 and verse 29 because God commands it, but man must do the believing. And if you want to talk about something that man does as a work, well, even when man believes, he is working in that respect. And when a man is obedient, he is performing works of obedience that are necessary to partake of the grace and the mercy and the benefits of God. Because you see, salvation is a gift, but it is a gift on condition. And when we meet the conditions, we are not deserving of the gift, but nonetheless, we receive the gift, but not before. And friend, we need to believe that and understand that. And never do you read in the Bible about be saved and then join the church of your choice. That is a prominent denominational doctrine. You hear it constantly. But there's nothing biblical about it. You see what I'm trying to get to here, not only to teach us about baptism, we've got to decide what's going to be our guide in religion. What's going to be our guide? Will it be the inspired, infallible, inerrant, all-sufficient, authoritative Scripture as Scripture demands of itself and claims of itself? Will we accept that, or do we follow some other? Now, this is the first decision people have to make in their determination about how to serve God. What's going to be our rule? Is it going to be how I feel? Is it going to be what most do? Is it going to be what is popular? Or is it going to be what is strange? Oh, just what will it be? Well, friend, I suggest to you that the standard of authority, of course, is the Word of God and nothing else. And the Word of God teaches us concerning these matters of baptism, and there ought not be any controversy about it. Oh, that's water salvation, someone says. Well, it's spoken of in that fashion in a disparaging way. But, dear friend, water happens to be the element into which we're baptized. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry. But that's not going to change. Your likes or dislikes about any of this, or mine. That's not going to change any of it. We need to understand that. We're not the ones that drawing up the conditions. We're the ones that are to meet the conditions. A lot of people just merely have understood that God is the one that calls the shots, if you please. We're the ones that are to conform. A lot of people trying to convert God to them. God, you accept me in whatever I do so long as I'm honest and sincere. It doesn't work that way, my dear listener. We're to be honest and we're to be sincere, but we're to be submissive and we're to be obedient to what God has commanded also. It might be called water salvation by some, but I suppose when Naaman came out of that Jordan River, having dipped 7 times, no longer diseased of leprosy, somebody might have called that water healing or something. No, the power wasn't the water. The power always is God. Friend, there's really no need for controversy over this subject, even though it is one of the most controversial subjects among religious people. There's just no cause for it. No cause for it whatsoever. Really, the question that each unbaptized person needs to ask, or at least all of us need to ask, have I been baptized? Have I been baptized according to the way the Bible teaches one must be baptized? And our question to you is, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I've never known a person yet, and I've known a lot. And I've been blessed to be able to assist many people in being baptized. And I've seen many, many others being baptized. And I have known in fellowship even a larger number than that that's been baptized. I've never known one yet to have regretted obeying the command to be baptized. Even many who have fallen away. I've never known them to state yet. Now, I don't say there's not one. There may be. But I've never heard anybody yet state, I regret obeying the Lord in baptism. This is just not something you regret doing, because it is conformity to the will of God. All that stands between, submit to the Lord's command to confess Him and be baptized, because you already believe in Christ. You're already penitent of your sins. You know the difference between right and wrong. You want to go with the right way. You just need to come and confess your faith before this group here this morning, to obey the Lord in baptism and be added to the Lord's church. Whereas I have never known anybody to regret having done that, I've known a lot of people that regretted that they didn't, and many that regretted they didn't do it sooner. There's no need for you to be in this latter company. And so I'm pleading with you, standing upon the Word of God as the authority, won't you obey God and be baptized this morning?